Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 12th of March 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon-Aul, Olivier Coamy, Chuck Gomes, Phil Morano, Tom Barrett, Klaus Stoll, Avi Doria, Nick Steinbach, Wolf Neumann, Alan Greenberg, Graham Sutton, Brian Winterfeld, and Marie-Laure Lemineur. We have apologies from Olga Cavalli, Christina Rosette, Dave Scott Evans, a tentative apology for today's call, and Mary Wong. From staff, we have Monica Koenigs, Terry Agnew, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. This is Chuck, and thanks, everyone, for joining. I welcome a few that haven't been on our calls recently, and glad to have you with us. First thing we need to ask is if anyone has a statement of interest update. The second thing I am going to ask is Chuck again.
Yes.
Olivier, you have a statement of interest update? Please go ahead.
I think that might be background noise in another conversation. At least it's been in my ear for some time.
Okay, I think you're probably right, Cheryl. So let's go on. So the next question is there anybody on the call that is not in Adobe Connect? Please speak up if so. Okay, not hearing anyone. I'm going to assume everybody's in Adobe Connect always. If you get knocked out or something, please speak up if you want to jump in. The next item on the agenda is a very brief one. We can't talk about this one very much because we have getting through the rest of the principles is our priority today. But I want to call attention to the invitation for volunteers to join one of the three future sub-teams. Information was sent out about that. Is there anybody that did not receive that information? Okay. I would appreciate it if everybody could join one of the teams, preferably only one, so that we can spread the workload out and make scheduling easier for meetings. We would really like to have the leadership team, the chairs, co-chairs, and Mary and Marika would really like to have a good feel for who's volunteering for each of the three teams when we go into Singapore or at Singapore at the very latest, so we can make a decision in terms of how to proceed going forward. We're optimistic that we'll get enough volunteers for each of the three teams that they can work in parallel and thereby save us some time. So I call that to your attention. I'll entertain any quick questions if anybody has any, but not don't want to spend too much time on this agenda item, so we can jump right into the principles. Okay, not hearing anybody or seeing any hands, I'm going to go ahead and go to agenda item 3, which is the bulk of our meeting right now, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. Marika distributed a revised principles list, and we ended last week talking about principles, what are now numbers 5 and 6 in the new edition, and under Section B of the document. Now, I think we were pretty much in agreement on Principle 5, but I want to confirm that now. Any discussion, comments, or edits on Principle 5? And if you could, we have the right. You have the abilities, as do I, to scroll down. I'm just doing it now. So you have it in the Adobe there. Any more discussion? Is it okay to assume? If not, let me know that Principle 5 is okay as written. Understanding we can always come back to any one of these if we run into something later. Okay. Then going to Principle 6, we talked about this last week. Let's see if we can wrap that one up now. Policy and implementation are not two separate phases entirely, but require continuous dialogue and communication between those that determine policy, e.g. the GNSO, and those that are charged with operationalizing, implementing it, for example, staff. We talked a little bit last week about, you know, does that duplicate, and yeah, probably does duplicate a little bit in something we said earlier. Some of us, I think, still would like to state it here and cited reasons last week if you listen to the transcript. Let me open it up for discussion on that. Sorry for the background noise there. If I mute myself, you won't be able to hear me, but it's... Okay, not seeing any. Is anybody opposed to moving on from Section B and going to Section C in the document? Okay. I assume you can get all those changes, Marika. They were pretty simple. So going on then to Section C, number one in Section C has to do with principles that apply primarily to policy. Keep in mind that Section B was principles that applied to both policy and implementation. And so the first one under policy standards, Principle A is GNSO policy recommendations should be clear and unambiguous with performance targets and standards. If anybody objects to that one, I'm going to let Cheryl take care of you. Is there anybody that doesn't want them to be clear and unambiguous? So, okay, and by the way, some of these principles we're getting into in the remaining part of the document may go quickly, and that's okay, but I do want us to at least cover each one so we know that those that are on the call are in agreement. Any questions, comments? Edits on 1A. Okay, going on to 1B. The processes must be designed to be time sensitive. The resolution of unexpected policy related processes identified during the implementation phase need to delay implementation as little as possible. These are supposed to be primarily relating to policy. Is this one relating more to implementation? Comments, thoughts on that? I haven't identified myself. This is still Chuck speaking. I think I'm the only one that has spoken for the last 5 minutes.
You've got Alan's hand up.
Thank you. Alan, go ahead.
I don't know quite how to answer your question. It's talking about policy that pops up during implementation. So, yes, it's policy. Yes, it's implementation. It's got to pivot somewhere. So this is as good a place as any in my mind.
Well, question, this is Chuck again, Alan. Would it be better to move this one to policy and implementation?
Oh...
Anybody else have a thought on that?
No, I think it's talking about a policy process that is undertaken in the midst of implementation must be time sensitive, and it's policy. Implementation is when it happens to happen, but it's policy. So I think it's in the right place.
Thanks, Alan. Chuck again.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton. I guess in the sense that it's under the heading policy, it's kind of in the right place, but I feel like it doesn't announce itself as being about policy during implementation, and therefore it could be read, and I would read it, to be about at least when you get to the first sentence, it's about all policy principles, or a principle that applies to all policy. So I'm not quite sure how to organize this, but, you know, this is not under, in a sense, it doesn't apply to policy and implementation. It applies to policy during implementation, so maybe it needs its own subheading rather than just being a policy standard, or at least it needs to kind of be set off from the first point and the third point, or, you know, 1A and 1C, which are about the policy process, broadly speaking. And in essence, the policy issue that arises during implementation is now not during a working group, so it's kind of its own animal, and not one that we've really explored very much. Indeed, you know, as part of the issue that led to this group is what happens when things happen during implementation that are arguably policy. I think that probably deserves its own space in this document. I mean, I think if it doesn't have it now, it will after the sub-teams meet, because that's part of what's going on there. So I would start now by kind of carving out a subspace for policy during implementation, as opposed to policy during the policy phase. Thank you.
Greg, I have a follow-up question for you or anyone who wants to answer it. So would it help, first of all, in the first sentence to say policy processes must be designed to be time sensitive? And then secondly, to move the second sentence down into the principles that apply primarily to implementation? And I'll let Greg respond first, and then I'll jump to Nick and Alan.
Yes, my first response to that would be that having served on a few working groups, the idea that policy process, that working group processes are time sensitive, kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. Having been on the IGO expedited group, which met 2 hours every week and still took, you know, close to a year to arrive at a result, to say that the policy processes must be time sensitive would actually require us to completely blow up the policy process from top to bottom, because it's a wonderful system. It grinds exceedingly fine, but it also grinds exceedingly slowly. So I don't know how we can say that policy processes must be time sensitive while retaining the policy processes we have pretty much as is. Thank you.
Points well taken. Thank you. Nick.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with you, Chuck. I hope you can hear me.
I can.
Yeah, I think that there are two. Okay, great. I think there's two distinct points in this one. I agree with the policy processes must be designed to be time sensitive. I think that keyword there is designed. So I would tend to just remove that in its entirety. I know that generally these things are not always the most timely processes, but I think as a principle it should at least be designed to have some kind of time sensitivity. And then I would agree that I think that there really are two different things in this one, and that we should maybe think about splitting them up. But I think they're both important.
Thank you, Nick. Alan.
Thank you. Several things. With regard to your original suggestion, I think we can fix this one by simply adding an "in particular" in front of the resolution of unexpected policy during implementation. These are principles. This is not the final outcome of this overall working group, which needs to be tidy and neat with a bow on it. You know, as long as we're stating the principles and we're not burying them so where they're completely obscure, I don't think we need to worry that much about the exact order of them and the titles. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth on that. With regard to what Greg was chuckling over, that the policy process needs to be timely, and his comment about blowing up the whole thing if we want to change it, maybe that's what we need to do. You know, there are some of us, and the ATRT2 statement paper recommendations made it relatively clear, who are less and less patient with the slow grinding process that we're in. And if you want to maintain people volunteering in these kind of things, we need to make it more efficient for the people who are participating. So maybe we do need to blow it up. I wouldn't rule that out completely. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So a couple, this is Chuck again, a couple suggestions. In the first sentence, one thing we could do would be the processes must be designed to be as time-sensitive as possible without compromising the multi-stakeholder model. Let me stop there, and I'll come back to the second sentence later. Any comments on that? Greg?
I guess I would follow up with Alan, which is, and just maybe clarify my earlier comments, which is that I would actually love to see our processes become more time-sensitive, and I think it's a real issue that the processes take as long as they do. So maybe if we are talking about forward-looking principles, and maybe we do want to say here, to come out of this group, more than just a discussion of policy and versus or connected to implementation, however you want to join those words together, but, you know, a comment, a principle that the policy processes do need to be time-sensitive and maybe recognizing that they aren't currently so time-sensitive, but I agree, they grind finely and they kind of grind down the participants after a while, and I think that we would all be better off and we'd be able to make policy faster. The question then is, how do you get the level of deliberation that we have here? And look how long this working group has gone on, and we're still kind of on principles and definitions in a way. And we're all, most all volunteers. So it's kind of it's a puzzlement, but I think it is one that is worth, at least in a hortatory fashion, mentioning in this statement. Thank you.
And Greg, I'm just Chuck again. I'm going to come back to you to the question I asked. What do you think of the change I suggested? I was actually trying to address your concern, and that is that the process must be designed to be as time-sensitive as possible without unduly compromising the multi-stakeholder process.
I definitely agree with that.
Alan's hand went down. Okay, I want to come back to Nick because Nick, you commented on that. Would you be okay with that change in the first sentence?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that change in the first sentence looks good.
And I see Amr agreeing. Aubrey, please. Are you on mute?
Yeah.
Aubrey?
First of all, I don't know. This is Aubrey speaking. I can be heard.
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you.
Perhaps I can't be heard.
Yes,
I can be heard. Okay, thanks.
Now you can't be heard.
We were getting a little echo, but we were hearing you before.
I'm not speaking because oh, okay, then I stopped speaking when you were speaking. So sorry. I don't know if it was obvious before, but I'm not as comfortable with the notion that the processes are not fast enough. I think that they take the time they take. I think IGO happened in a timely manner because it was done in time. So that wasn't as big a issue. I think that every time we try to rush things, we do exclude the proper deliberation, the proper time. I think we could do a whole lot better in our working methods and not do everything by one-hour conversation every day, but find steady-state ways of working, and hopefully some of the panel's suggestions will be taken up by us so that we do get more efficient at our working. But so in terms of your phrase, the unduly phrase, I'm not sure I understand what duly messing up of the process would be. So, you know, that's and with Alan, I don't believe that there was unanimity in the ATRT on the notion that things had to be quicker. Yes, there was a general consent that things had to be done so that those working did not get burned out. There was definitely strong discussion in terms of new techniques for making things work better, but there was not a sense that more rushing was needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey, and I'm going to come back to you as well. This is Chuck. Would you be okay if we delete, with the change I suggested, if we delete the word unduly So it would say the processes must be designed to be as time-sensitive as possible without compromising the multi-stakeholder process.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Greg.
It's Greg Shatton again. I was going to suggest that the two sentences of this Section B should actually be split into two separate subsections, since I think the first point relates to policy processes generally, and the second point is only about policy during implementation. So I think they're kind of clutched together.
Thank you. And I think I'm kind of getting that sense from several people on that. Did you have something else to say? Did I cut you off, in other words?
No, that was it. Short and sweet for change.
Thanks. No, that was a good point. And I think I'm coming to the same conclusion that they need to be separated. But let's go to Alan.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make something clear. My statement was not that we need to have faster policy development. I was not on the hobble horse of, what we do is too slow. The point was, if we don't use people's time more effectively, we're not going to get those people. I know personally I don't volunteer for all of the working groups that I think might be interesting and I might contribute to, because my patience quota is just going down. And
is that because of
based on a number of statements from Mikey and from other people, it's not unique for me. So it wasn't a statement that we need to do faster policy development, which we know will be rebutted by look at how slow other processes are. That's not the issue. It's people issue that I was focusing on anyway.
Thank you, Alan. And let's see, who was next in the queue? Because I just got a lot logged in again here to get mine. Can somebody help out? I think there was another name in the queue.
No one else has their hand up now. Greg now.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Okay.
No, Greg just put his hand up.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. Sorry, I'm logging back in.
Greg, once again, perhaps I'm echoing in a way Avery and Alan, which is that the deliberative process is core to the PDP process. And that should not be given short shrift or rushed, but at the same time, the kind of the time span in which these groups work can be troublesome in terms of remaining relevant and getting things done as the rest of time marches on. And I think what was cited as some of the ideas coming out of ATRT2 and other things to find better work streams and work methodologies that allow things to take place more between calls and to get kind of to an end result more quickly, and allowing people to focus more on deliberation in a sense. And less on whatever else ends up taking the time, I think it is very important, and I look forward to finding some different work styles, because the kind of the 1 hour a week every 2 weeks is kind of that's very it takes a long time to do anything 1 hour a week every 2 weeks, no matter what it is. If I brushed my I won't think of an analogy because I don't have a good one, so I'll stop here. Thank you.
We appreciate that, Greg. Thank you. Marika, do you have the rewording of the first sentence? While I'm waiting for that, is there anybody that objects to the rewording of the first sentence so that it will say the processes must be designed to be as time-sensitive as possible without compromising the multi-stakeholder process? You have that, Marika?
Yeah, it isn't, Rick. The only thing I had was a policy processes. I think you suggested before to add that, just to be clear. I don't know if that still needs to be in or that should be out.
I don't think it harms anything to have it there. Anybody object to that? Okay. And Cheryl, did you want to talk about that first sentence?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I will come back to you. So Marika, you have it then?
Yes, I do.
Thanks a lot. Okay. So now, what do we do with the second sentence? Okay, we've had a couple suggestions. Greg suggested creating a category that is for policy that happens during implementation. I suggested moving the second sentence or some form of it down to the implementation section. Oh, Cheryl, you put your hand down. I was looking forward to what you had to say. So what are the wishes of people? Let's have some people speak up on that if you have a preference. Marika.
This is Marika. I have a slight concern about creating a section that will be called policy during implementation, because at least as I see it, if implementation needs to happen, if that's raised during implementation, it actually goes back to a policy process where we currently have a PDP. I think by saying that there should be policy during implementation, it may already presuppose what the outcome may be of some of our conversations. I think in the current state of affairs, I think it's more, indeed, we have policy and implementation, and if something needs to be done through a policy process, it actually goes back to that policy process, and there's not something that exists within implementation that we call policy development as such. So personally, I would rather have it either on the policy or on the implementation, but not have a separate category at this stage, although, of course, it doesn't preclude that from happening at the end stage. If we have defined a specific policy process, that may happen as part of the implementation process.
Thank you, Marika. This is Chuck again. Greg, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I think my thinking is, again, I'll go back to saying I think we need a separate section for, with relating to implementation or to, maybe this goes in the section on implementation in a sense, because we're going to have, there are going to be issues that come up that are not kind of pure mechanical implementation. They may go to the implementation review team first, which may kind of do a preliminary check. I don't even know exactly what the workflow would be, but they would do kind of a preliminary check that it's, consistent with policy or maybe needs to be tweaked so that it's consistent with policy. Kind of begs the question of what the implementation review team would do if a minor policy type matter came up during implementation and needed to be dealt with. Would you then have to reconvene a PDP, or is the implementation review team there to kind of make decisions that are quasi-policy, quasi-implementation, which kind of, again, gets back to one of the core reasons why this group exists at all. It seems to me that things are on a spectrum from, pure policy to pure implementation to things that are, policy light, and then there are things that are policy heavy, and, who knows what the process is. But for dealing with those things, whatever they are, they need to be time sensitive, and it may be just that the implementation review team is the process, or it may be that there is some other process not yet in existence for dealing with something that is too policy for the implementation review team to deal with, but maybe not policy enough to charter a whole new working group. But I'm now getting highly speculative. Thank you.
So Greg, this is Chuck, and one question for you. Would you be okay if this sentence or whatever form of it we agree on is moved to the implementation section?
Yes, I would, actually.
Okay, thank you. Alan.
Thank you. I think what Greg just sort of reviewed is one of the main reasons why we're here. Under the current rules, and especially if something is a consensus policy as opposed to just a GTLD policy, if something needs to be changed after the policy is approved by the GNSO and the board, the only official way to do that is start another PDP. So even though for the last several years we have put into PDPs, and you should look back every couple of years to see if what we recommended is working, if it isn't, even if it's a minor tweak that everyone agrees to, there's no process to do it. So I think that's one of the main reasons we're here, is how do we fix that without having to charter new PDPs and start from scratch every time we have a gotcha that we didn't think about or didn't think about properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again. By the way, I think we have a record number of participants on this call, and I really thank everybody for that. The next question is for everyone. Does anyone disagree with the notion of moving the second sentence in 1B, C1B, to the implementation section, which would be Section D? Anybody opposed to that, please put disagree with that in the chat. Okay, now, the follow-up question to that is the wording okay as it is? Did anybody have any suggestions for changing the wording of the second sentence? Okay. Very good. Thank you, everyone. Let's go to 1C. And that says policy staff is expected to, oops, there's a hand. Oh, no, there's not a hand. Sorry about that. Okay. Back to 1C. Policy staff is expected to provide PDP working groups assistance, as outlined in the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, in a transparent and neutral manner, including drafting, if required, which would reflect faithfully the deliberations of the working group. Now, by the way, just an editorial comment here. In my experience with the policy staff, they follow this one very well. So, but the reality of the matter is we may not always have such good policy staff as we do now, so we have to prepare for it, I think. Any discussion on Principle 1C? Any opposed to it as it's worded? Any edits? Okay, I'm not seeing or hearing anyone. So I'm going to move right ahead to Section 2 of Section C. Oh, there we go, Greg. You're a little slow on that hand.
Hi.
I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead.
Hi, sorry, it's Greg Shatton once again. Actually, rolling back to the second sentence of 1B, my faint of a hand before was because I was still trying to figure out whether I had a comment or not, and now I figured out that I do. The resolution of unexpected policy-related processes or processes. Are we resolving processes that are identified during the implementation phase, or are we or is it more really unexpected policy-related issues?
Yeah, I like that. I was thinking of that same word as you were talking. Anybody opposed to changing processes in that second sentence of B to issues? Okay, thanks, Greg. Good catch.
I would support it, and then I don't have to worry about whether I should pronounce it like my Canadian father or my American upbringing. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Appreciate that. This is Chuck again. So I think we can now, and you got that right, Marika?
Yep, I do.
Okay, so let's move on to two, policy and the community. And Principle A is an analysis of the impact on stakeholders is an essential part of the policy development process. Any discussion on that? Is that an old hand, Greg?
Old hand, sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion on that? Okay. Anybody have any edits to it? If not, I will assume we can go to Principle 2B.
Just before you do, can you take a pause and look at what Stephanie put in the chat, please, at Cheryl for the record?
Oh, I will, because we're moving at such a pace I'm not keeping up on the chat. Thanks. I appreciate that. Cheryl, Stephanie, would you be willing to share that? Or do you want me to share it for you? Stephanie, go ahead, please. Are you on mute? It doesn't look like it, but I can't hear you. Okay. So,
hello?
Oh, hello. Oh, there we go. I hear you.
There we go.
Go ahead.
I hadn't twiddled the right thing to twiddle. On the first thing that I put in the chat, it just seems to me that there ought to be an easy way to make this whole policy thing more of an iterative process. So if the working group agrees that they've discovered an issue that is outside of their remit from a policy perspective, we should be able to just send it back for a quick amendment. I mean, this is pretty common in legislative processes when you realize you need to draft something and you don't have the authority, you have to go back for an amendment, right? So it shouldn't, like, the idea of starting up a whole new working group is just mind-numbing, you know? So that was the point I was trying to make. And And I'm going to forget what caused me to put up my hand because it took me so long to get off mute. What were we? Oh, yes, impact on stakeholders. I beg your pardon. What is the process for doing the analysis of the impact on stakeholders? I mean, again, not to sound like a government person, but I think you really need a full, like a regulatory impact analysis, such as they do in the United States, such as they do in Europe, such as we do, that looks at the impact on all stakeholders, rather than just have a working group where not every single stakeholder impacted may be present. So, I mean, there are plenty of formal models for stakeholder impact assessment, regulatory impact assessment, and we could just copy one, you know?
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Very, very good comment. So I'm going to, before I go to Alan, I want to ask a couple follow-up questions. I guess the first question is, are you identifying maybe a new principle that we'd add somewhere in this document? And then secondly, I want to comment. I think part of what you're talking about, what is the process, relates to the main part of our work that's still in the future. And right now we're talking about developing some principles for the full working group to put forward that we would base our future work on. So let me, if you're willing, Stephanie, let me let you respond to both my question and my comment, if you would. Yeah, I'm testing to see if you can get off mute faster this time. Are you there, Stephanie? Okay, let me go to Alan, and then if you can get back in, just raise your hand again, Stephanie. Alan, go ahead.
A couple of points. In response to what Stephanie put in the chat and that said, the problem is we have no methodology for drafting an amendment. The GNSO is not supposed to do policy development itself. Policy development is supposed to have buy-in from, all of the stakeholders, and the PDP is the process we have right now to do it. We may end up with other ones out of this overall working group and concept, but the problem is there's no one empowered to draft an amendment. The original policies are drafted by working groups that are made up of, a conglomeration of all people who sign off on it, and we don't have someone who's empowered in the middle to do that. But we don't need to do that at the principal stage. That's going to have to be a product coming out of this process. And the same, I think, goes for methodology associated with impact analysis. We're stating a principle here. We're not saying how it should be done, and there's a good debate to be held. Should we have a very formal process like regulatory impact analysis, or do we want something more flexible depending on the detailed circumstances? So I think those are discussions that need to be held. I don't think they're in the principle discussion. Thank you.
Alan, do you think, though, that there might be an opportunity to deal with the iterative process as a principle, or do we have that already somewhere? I can't remember. Alan?
Our principles are stating the challenges. I don't think we can do all the work of the group.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting we do. Okay, let me go to Stephanie.
Great. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think I would be, these are two sort of new work products that presumably this work has the mandate, this group has the mandate to develop, but you do need a link in the principles to get you there. So maybe this statement here, an analysis of the impact on stakeholders, maybe that's enough to get you to the production of a new tool. And I don't think it should be bureaucratic, heaven forbid, but it should be comprehensive. But on the other one, that's kind of almost core to the mandate. got to figure out a better way than what you've got right now. So you do need a hook to allow yourself to develop that instrument, I think. And I don't know this document well enough to know where it is.
What kind of a hook would you recommend? In other words, and really to translate that, this is Chuck again, could you formulate a principle that would provide the hook you're looking for if it's not already there?
I think you could add to sentence number 6 in B, because that practically says it's an iterative process. It talks about dialogue and communication. And included in that dialogue and communication is the transmission of discovery. And sometimes it wouldn't be a discovery. Sometimes it would be just maybe one sort of recalcitrant stakeholder finally admitting that, oh, yeah, maybe that is policy after all, and maybe it isn't implementation. And then you can take it back and seek the remit to do it. But I think it fits under B6.
And so, this is Chuck again, Stephanie. I'm going to stick with you just for a second here. It says, but require continuous dialogue and communication. Certainly an iterative process could fit in that. Would you word it differently?
I would make it explicit.
And
I'll hang up some words and put it in the chat. How about that?
That's excellent. Okay, very good. Let's go to Greg.
It's Greg Chatton again. In listening to this, I think it's critical that we work toward in this group identifying a way to deal with policy during implementation. I think in a sense Alan's right. We're talking about principles, and so we can't kind of now sit here and get into implementation, if you will. But I think we do need to set we need to set more than one or two principles about this, because in a sense, this is the nub of the question, and we should be figuring out what principles we're going to use now to deal with the nub of this question. Before, it's easy to deal with policy during policy and implementation during implementation, but how do you deal with policy during implementation, and including deciding whether something is policy during implementation? Again, that is our raison d'etre. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, so I better look at the chat. Okay, so nothing there yet. Stephanie's typing. So I asked this question previously. I didn't get any objections. I'm concluding that principle 2A is okay, unless somebody says differently, either by disagreeing in the chat or speaking up right now. And let me look at what, okay, it's not there yet. Okay, so I'm not seeing any, I better scroll down, because you have to scroll down for disagrees, don't you? Okay, all right. Okay, going then to 2B, we'll come back, Stephanie, when she gets her suggested edits to number 6 under B. And by the way, a minor editorial point, Marika, that we can fix later. We probably ought to standardize our numbering scheme, use the same scheme throughout. So in B, I used just regular Arabic numerals. In C, we're doing Arabic numerals with parentheses and subletters with that. I don't care which way, just so we're consistent, and we don't need to spend time talking about that. B, 2B, if the SO must provide timely notification to the rest of the community about policy development efforts and or implementation processes in which it is engaged. It is the responsibility of the other SOs and ACs and stakeholders in general to determine whether or not they are impacted by that activity and to provide their input in a timely manner. The originating SO is responsible for reviewing and considering all such input. Final document should include references to the input received and its disposition in the final outcome. Any discussion on that? And, Greg, is that an old hand or a new one?
It's an ancien hand.
It's a what?
Ancient hand.
Go ahead.
Or a former hand, either one, but.
Oh, it's a former hand. Okay. Alan, please.
Yeah, just I'm not sure if it's style or whatever, but suddenly we're generalizing that this statement applies to all SOs, and we're talking about the originating SO and the other SOs, whereas I thought we, at the very top, we said, this is GNSO. If other SOs, if it's applicable to other SOs, we'll worry about generalizing it at the end.
Well, Alan, just Chuck, let me respond to that, because we are dependent on the other SOs and ACs to respond in a timely manner. Now, maybe we could word this differently.
No. Chuck, I wasn't criticizing the statement about the other SO. It says, if the SO must provide notifications to the rest of the community. We're using the SO instead of the GNSO when we're only talking, and then we're using the term the originating SO. I think both of those are GNSO.
How would you change it, Alan? This is Chuck.
I would replace SO at the beginning of the sentence and the originating SO with GNSO.
Oh, good. Anybody have a problem with that? Got it. Good suggestion. Any other changes? And got an agreement there from Cheryl. Any other edits to 2B? Okay.
Amer's hands up.
Oh, Amer, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amer. I was just wondering if it would be appropriate here to include staff, as in the GNSO, with the assistance of ICANN staff, must provide timely notification to the rest of the community. Is that something we might want to put in here or not?
Amr, Chuck again. So are you suggesting the GNSO must provide timely notification?
So yeah, I would say
Where would you put staff?
I would say the GNSO, with the assistance of ICANN staff, must provide timely notification to the rest of the community. I'm just wondering if it would be appropriate to add that here at this point or not. It is a common practice, I suppose.
Yeah, this is Chuck responding. If somebody else wants to respond, please raise your hand. I don't think that is a problem adding that. I don't know if it's necessarily needed because we already have the principle of staff supporting us, but I personally wouldn't care if that was added. Anybody else? Okay, let's add it. Any other changes to 2B? Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just maybe a small change to that, because I would make it policy staff instead of ICANN staff. I think before we were talking as well about policy staff.
Good point, and I'd rather work with you guys anyway.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Got an agreement there from Amr. Cheryl, a clap? Excellent. Okay. Let's go then to 2C. Each of the principles in this document must be considered in terms of the degree to which they adhere to and further the principles defined in ICANN's core values as documented in Article 2 of the ICANN bylaws, and we would include the link. Again, we have one like that earlier. A particular note should be made to core value 4, seeking and supporting broad informed participation reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making. Okay, this is another reference to a core value that we thought was, or I think we think, is particularly relevant to the policy and the community. Any discussion on that? Any edits? Can I assume that Principle 2C is okay? If not, please put a disagree in the chat or raise your hand. Got an agree? That's good. Several agrees. Thanks, everybody. Not seeing any disagreement, let's move on to Section D. Pressing ahead, and we have good chances, I think, to get all this done. Section 1, D1 is implementation standards. and A, which is on the Adobe screen, all GNSO PDP working groups should be encouraged to provide as much implementation guidance as possible within a reasonable time frame as outlined in the PDP manual. To the extent implementation guidance cannot be provided, the PDP recommendation should strive to identify areas where additional policy work may be needed during implementation. So, discussion on this. Edits. Go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. To be honest, I don't understand what is meant by implementation guidance here. It isn't a term that we've used before, and we haven't included it in the definitions. So if you could clarify what that means here, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Sure. And Stephanie, did you want to respond to Amr's question? If you do, go ahead. If you want to come, if you want to go back to six, item six, let's hold that off. But go ahead if you'd like to respond.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think I was at the point that got me raising my hand was that this would be another good hook, the mechanism to go back for more policy guidance. And just in responding to Amr, and who am I to respond? I haven't been around here for that long. But this is the problem with policy guidance. If it doesn't get right down to pretty close to implementation, then you haven't given specific enough instructions for people to know what's intended. I think this is a line that it's extremely difficult to walk. And therefore, when surely part of the job of this working group is to figure out exactly where that line fits.
Yeah, let me speak a little bit, and somebody else may want to jump in too. This is Chuck. From a historical perspective, the new GTLD policy that was developed, other than a few... Excuse me?
We might have a right to demand from the policy committee.
That you were breaking up there, so I missed part of that. This is Chuck. Let me respond with a little historical information. The new GTLD policy that was developed took about a year and a half to develop, and it ended up containing a few very thin implementation guidelines. It's my contention that if we had tried to provide a lot of implementation detail, we'd have been there for 3 or 4 years. Now, maybe that was okay because we ended up spending that time anyway. But that's one of the reasons why in the wording of 1A there, it says implementation guidance as possible within a reasonable time frame. In that particular case, I think it would have taken a lot longer to complete the policy and start working on implementation. That might have saved some time in implementation, I don't know. But there are other policy processes, getting back to Amr's question, where the policy has provided more detailed implementation guidance. For example, one that's just underway right now is the FICUIS PDP. Within the policy recommendations is a recommendation that those most impacted by the recommendations for FICUIS should be involved in the implementation review team. So that's just one little example. There are other PDPs where there have been good examples of more implementation guidance. In some cases, though, you're almost going to, and this goes back quite a ways to, for example, the registrar transfer policy. It really needed, for implementation, needed some specific knowledge and expertise from registrars, so since they were the ones that were going to be dealing with it most directly. So it made more sense, rather than having the policy working group recommend too much about implementation, it made more sense for them to recommend an implementation review team, which then occurred, and that worked very effectively. And let me add, Amr, does that help a little bit in terms of why this one's there?
Yeah, Chuck, that helps a lot, actually. I was just wondering what it actually meant. I hadn't come across the term before, so thanks.
Yeah, it's a case where you can't have a one size fits all. Each PDP is going to be kind of unique. So what we're saying in this principle is let's encourage the PDP working groups to provide as much as possible under the circumstances that exist, and that will be helpful. But it's also recognizing that every case is not the same. Marika.
This is Marika. Basically, I think referring to your recent PDPs, what we do try to do, like either an initial report or final report, capture any elements that relate more to the implementation, either in the form of guidance or questions as part of your separate sections in the report. And basically, once things then move into implementation, we'll take out those specific parts as well and pass that on to the staff that are responsible for the implementation, so they are aware that in certain cases, guidance may have been given by the working group. And maybe certain examples of how something could potentially be achieved, or, you know, it could talk about, you know, that there's a preference for, you know, exploring option A instead of option B for achieving the policy recommendation. But it is a way of, as well, of trying to encourage some of those conversations so that, you know, in certain cases, there may be different ways to get to, you know, to achieve the policy objective or the policy recommendation. So if there's anything specific that a working group wants to provide to staff, you know, that is an opportunity to do so. And in other cases, you know, staff may just come back to an implementation review team or to the community as a whole saying, look, we've taken all the policy recommendations and you know, this is how we would believe these can be achieved through implementation. You know, what do you think of it? And again, if there are certain cases where, you know, there are really two equal options or staff has doubts over, you know, which one would be preferred, there's also the option to then say, look, we see two paths in which we could achieve the same results. You know, these are the pros of the one. These are, you know, the pros of the other. Is there a specific preference in the community to go for one or the other? So I think that's where implementation guidance has started finding its way as well in working group reports and really trying to capture if any of those elements come up as part of the conversation.
Thank you, Marika. This is Chuck again. And I just want to comment very briefly that the discussion we're having sets, in addition to the principles we're developing, are going to set the foundation for our work going forward. So all this is very valuable so that we hopefully have a common understanding, and I think that will facilitate the future work that is the main part of our tasks. Any objections to Principle A or edits? Going once, twice? We're going to Principle B, administrative updates, error corrections, and clarifications to approved GNSO policy should be treated in a transparent manner as implementation issues without any requirement for public consultation except the right for the community to challenge whether such updates were indeed simply administrative updates, error corrections, or clarifications. Now, for those that haven't been in some of our meetings, and maybe haven't followed all the discussions on the list, this is one that we already tweaked quite a while ago, but it's still open for more changes. Any new discussion on this one? Okay, great.
Thanks, it's Greg Shatton. This is kind of I feel like this is kind of a mess. It's kind of a mouthful. It's very reactive to some, you know, particular situations. I just don't feel like it's, you know, phrased as a principle. I'm not sure what to do about it, though. So that's, I'm kind of, you know, going out on a limb criticizing something I can't think about how to improve.
I get the concept behind it, but kind of the way it is, it sounds more like a complaint than a principle, or you know, it's kind of a complaint disguised as a principle. And I don't. Plus, I don't know about the right of the community to challenge. I mean, in a sense, there's always a right, but the question is, you know, how would that right get initiated? Is it, you know, just saying that there's a right in the abstract, assuming that we, you know, support that right, how does it get challenged? You know, is it, how are these, all of these administrative, you know, these administrative updates, errors and clarifications handled? Are they, is it out for public comment? But it says it's not required for public consultation. Is it, it just seems like kind of a, there's a nugget here, but I'm just feeling like it hasn't been polished. But I apologize for not having any capacity to polish it right now.
Well, we'll give you a few more minutes to polish. In the meantime, let's go to Nick. This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, this is Nick. I've always thought this one was a little bit too granular to be a principle. I'm kind of pro just getting rid of it. So I'm going to toss that up there on the table. But I think that, you know, this kind of fringe case with a clause that kind of gets back to something that's a little bit unclear of how it would actually be implemented just creates more problems than it's worth. And I don't really think that it needs to be its own principle.
Thank you, Nick. So I have a question for you and for Greg, if you're willing to respond. That's Chuck speaking again. So if there are some administrative changes, maybe spell corrections just maybe the wrong word was used or whatever, do you think it should go back to the GNSO to make those?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. No. I think you know that the spirit of this one is correct. I just think that it's such a fringe case and so outside of these kind of like big overarching principles that we're kind of trying to put in effect to kind of guide the rest of this, that it really doesn't deserve to be in this document. I definitely don't disagree with what it's saying. I just don't think it should be in the document.
Okay, thank you. Marika, let me go to you, and then I'll go to Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. I agree. I think that this already goes probably to some of the detail that, you know, probably eventually may go into a process where we're describing, and as such, you know, we may not want to lose it. But one option would be to actually take this out and add this to the separate document that we created that I think was notes to pass back to the working group, or we've added some other items where we felt it was, you know, important to mention but didn't necessarily fit within the principles document. So maybe this may be one of those where, you know, we don't want to lose this element, but, you know, agree that this may be already going into the actual, you know, recommendation and how things should be done, and not necessarily a high-level principle. And I think just to note as well, because I think some of this language and may come as well from, I think, the staff paper where we actually looked at, I think, the change process that has been or was proposed as part of the new GTLD process, where I think it describes a specific way in which, you know, certain changes may happen as part of implementation. And I think one of them was indeed called out as part of, you know, administrative updates and error correction. So it may have come from there. But as I said, you know, it may be useful to take it to that other document to not lose it, but at the same time recognize that it may be going into much detail for this document.
Thanks, Marika. It's Chuck again. Aubrey, are you still disagreeing? And if so, I'd love it if you would comment. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, I was still disagreeing. I think the problem is that it isn't worded as a principle, but I do believe that there are principles there that need to be among the principles of the sort of granularity of notice, the granularity of looking, that it has to be an active and dynamic process there. So I don't have the wording in mind, and that's why I didn't put my hand up, but I knew you'd call on me as soon as I said I disagreed. But I think removing it is the wrong solution. I think looking at it and finding how to write it as the principle that's behind it would be something I would prefer.
So
that doesn't mean I want to do it.
Thank you, Aubrey. And that's this is Chuck. That's the polishing that, that Greg was talking about maybe. So let's go to Alan.
Thank you. I think there's two issues. First of all, we're mixing apples and oranges by incorporating spelling mistakes with substantive changes to the policy. You know, I think just confuses the issue. And the in terms of the substantive part, I think this should be moved to the notes, and not because it's not an important issue, but because we've already covered it. We've already said that if you are doing policy stuff, even if it's in the middle of implementation, it must be multi-stakeholder. We've already put in the buy-off, the sign-offs by saying it's a multi-stakeholder and saying that there has to be community involvement in it. We've said it from the very top that anything that smells of policy has to be involved the multi-stakeholder model and has to, you know, make sure that, that we're not doing things unilaterally. So I think we've already covered the policy part of it, and if we think there's some details here that we don't want to lose, yes, let's move them to the notes. But I don't think we're introducing anything new. We're just saying it in a different way. Thank you.
So, Alan, this is Chuck. Are you suggesting that then a spelling change would need to go be multi-stakeholder?
When we get to designing what it is we how it is we fix problems after the policy is approved, we're going to need a laundry list of different types of problems. We've already put in an earlier thing we discussed today. We have to know how to recognize when something is substantive or not, and whether it needs to go to the to a formal, you know, community-based stakeholder group, or if it can be done in some other way. We've already discussed that kind of thing. So yes, we're going to need methodologies. Yes, we're going to need litmus tests. We've talked about that already. I don't think we're adding anything here. Spelling mistakes are obviously at the one extreme, and the other one is we're turning the world upside down, and everyone's going to be impacted by it, and a whole level of in-betweens. But I think we've already talked about that, and we've already set out that we have work to do to be able to pass this on as something that could be implemented, forgive the expression, by the community. I don't think this is adding anything new.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again. Now, I'm going to ask each of you to be as concise as you can, because we need to get through all these principles today. And I'd really not like to take more of your time than the 90 minutes we allocated. Now, Marika, is that an old hand or is that a new hand? We can't lose the break.
Sorry, old. I'll take it out.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Stephanie.
I just wanted to make the point that I agree we should not lose this. I agree with Avery. We should not lose this. It's a little clumsy maybe, but it speaks to the issue that any change is on a continuum with spelling at one end and massive new policy impact thing at the other end, and given the nature of multi-stakeholderism and given the possible lack of trust, then I think this is a hard line to walk, and I think you need a process that expressly says there's a continuum, it must always be transparent, and if people are in that, I don't trust what's going on, then they're going to check where the transparency is. That's all I wanted to say. I wouldn't want to lose it, though.
Thanks, Stephanie. Greg.
It's Greg Chatton. I think maybe the problem is that this kind of seems to jump into the middle of the issue. And I know Alan says we've already kind of identified the issue that that we need to separate policy from implementation, but maybe this needs an introduction. It needs a sentence before this or a principle, a sub-principle before it that changes to GNSO policy need to be
examined as to whether they are policy or implementation or, you know, where they fall on that spectrum. And that it's, you know, if it falls at this end of the spectrum, which is kind of, I hate to use the word mere, but maybe I do, mere administrative updates, error corrections, and clarifications are at one end of that spectrum, and something more significant is elsewhere. But I think it's kind of jumping into the middle of the issue when we get to this point. Also, I hate the fact that it's phrased in the passive voice. So I don't know who are making these, who's doing the treating, and what treating means, and what the treating is anything to do with actually making the change. So again, it's got a way to go.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Aubrey's going to be the last one I'll call on this for now. We're going to try and finish off, and then if we have time, we'll come back to this one. And if not, I'll make a suggestion as a way to handle it, or somebody else can do that. So, Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Assuming I could be heard, this is Aubrey. So, yeah, apologies for beating around the bush on it before, but going back to the notion that there is a principle here, what this is defining, although it speaks of it as Greg says, clumsily, is that there is a class of action that the implementation can take because they think it's necessary, because they think it's only administrative, because of whatever reason, that it's a class of action that they take without any prior policy because nobody thinks it needs it. But that does not mean that that cannot then be recalled if it is determined to be something other than what they thought it was. And what this kind of indicates by sort of saying there are actions they could take without prior policy checking, and, you know, but there is a right of the community to challenge it. And I don't think that that specific principle, that sometimes they can act without checking first, but when they do, it is open to challenge. And that's a principle. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey, and I'm going to move on. We do not have agreement on that principle. Let me make that clear. What I'm going to do now, for the sake of time, is move on to Principle 1C. If we have time, I'll come back to B. We'll certainly come back to it in one sense or another.
Chuck, it's Alan. Can I make one very short statement?
Very short.
Okay. I think what Aubrey just said is very valid. But I think it's not just applying to little changes we make anywhere. If the GNSO enacts a policy and someone says, hold on, you didn't follow any reasonable procedure, there needs
okay.
to be some level of appeal at that level, too. So I think it's a more global thing than just at
okay.
that level.
Okay. I really didn't want further discussion on this at this time. If you had a suggestion that would have fixed it, that would have been okay. But let me move on to 1C. Each of the principles in this document must be considered in terms of the degree to which they adhere to and further the principles defined in ICANN's core values as documented in Article 2 of the ICANN bylaws, with a link there. That's a pretty broad principle. Any discussion on that? And for right now, if your hand's up to speak to 1C, leave it up. If it's not, would you put it up later, please? So, Marika, you want to talk to 1C?
Okay. No, sorry, just slow
okay.
putting my hand down, just to
yeah.
know that I've put some suggestive
if
language in the chat.
We can go through these others, we'll come back, okay? Any problems with 1C? Okay, I'm sorry for driving a little bit hard right now. But Section 2, then, limitation of implementation. A says there should be a mechanism to flag and address unanticipated outcomes of implementation decisions that may significantly impact the community. And there's a footnote with that that says some possible examples include but are not limited to if new obligations are imposed on parties, substantive changes to burdens such as related privacy, accessibility, rights protection costs, risks, etc. Any discussion on 2A? You see Amr agreeing with 2A. I'll scroll down and see if there's any. Okay. All right. Thanks, Amr. Any edits? Any opposition to 2A? Okay, going to 2B. There should be a mechanism to flag and address situations where there may be a deviation between the implementation and the policy as it was originally intended. Any discussion on that? We spent some time working on the language of this one previously. Okay? I'm going to assume that that one is okay. Let's go to the last one, 2C. If substantive policy implications are identified during implementation, the GNSO Council should be notified and involved in the process of resolving the issues, and it should not be left to ICANN staff or to whomever ICANN has delegated this task to resolve by themselves. This is one, again, that we spent some time tweaking the language previously, but let's talk about whether or not there are other edits or concerns that need to be addressed. There's also a footnote, number 7 here, that says identified via a process that is expected to be defined by the Policy and Implementation Working Group. So that's future work for us. Any discussion on that? Okay. Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone. We have, as I understand it, two possible issues. Back to B6. Stephanie, let me call on you. Do you think you will be able to come up with some tweak language there?
Hi. I did put something in the chat.
Okay.
Let me read it out.
Okay, please read it out, because I saw this. I thought this was your old post in the chat. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down far enough. My apologies. I've been pushing so
hard. The one that starts, when and if new policy issues that are germane to the operationalization / implementation, you need an arise in there. A clear process should be developed for return. Issue for policy direction. However, this last section, though, the limitation of implementation, it's a bit redundant. It's saying a similar thing, except I don't know whether. I mean, it's rather like there should be a mechanism to flag and address situations where there may be a deviation between implementation and the policy that was originally intended. Now, I mean, you could put it in here if you wanted to, as an in-principle, rather than in 2B.
Oh, okay. You mean in B6?
B6, yeah, sorry.
Okay, all right. So, okay. And where would you put it in? So it would be under D2, and would it work as a D, A, B, C, D?
Correct.
And what would you say there?
Well, you would need, this was intended as a sentence at the end of 2B.
Thank you. I missed that. I'm sorry. So would you read 2B with what's there and what you would add, please?
Hang on. Got to find it.
Sorry. You can see the technique I use myself, I don't know if it helps others or not. It helps me, although it keeps me from looking at the screen sometimes, as you can probably guess, is I keep a printed copy of the latest version because, first of all, it's bigger print, so I can read it better. But it's easier for me to then refer back and forth. I don't know if others want to do that or not, but it does help me, whether you can tell it or not. So
we were going to just add this as one sentence. So 5 says, in cases where new or additional policy issues are introduced, which is similar, these issues should be communicated to the relevant policy development party prior to the completion of the implementation process. That's kind of passive, you know. We want direction, right? 6 is policy and implementation are not 2 separate phases entirely. but require continuous dialogue and communication between those that determine the policy and those that are charged with operationalizing, implementing it. And then I was going to say, when and if new policy issues that are germane to the operationalization / implementation arise, a clear process should be developed for returning the specific issue for policy direction, which is not set in 5 or 6.
Okay. And you're saying now that that sentence could be added at the very end under 2B, limitation of implementation?
Well, it's kind of 6 to 1 and half a dozen of the other. Maybe because it relates to policy direction, it's better off at the top part under policy than under implementation.
Okay.
But there's a fair bit of repetition in here, if I may say so, so maybe you put it in twice.
We talked about that before. When in doubt, it's better to repeat than to maybe it being missed, but what's your recommendation here?
Well, if you think it could be missed, I would put it in both ends, because once again, having listened to the debate, it's a tomato-tomato. Some people would call this an implementation issue in that they can't implement it because they don't know what the policy is. Other people would call it a policy issue that was omitted.
Okay. Marika, do you have the language that Stephanie just proposed for the end of 6, first of all, and then one other place?
Yes, this is Marika. I have it currently as number 7 under A. Or no, B, sorry.
You added it as a number 7. Stephanie, did you intend it as a 7 or an addition to 6? Or do you care?
I don't care.
Okay, so 7's good. And
it's along.
Yeah, that's right. So, is there anybody that objects? Does anybody need to see it in writing? I think she's got it in writing in the chat. So, anybody?
I've also posted on the right hand side in the agenda at the bottom.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And thanks for calling that to my attention. So, that sentence that's there in the right hand side of the Adobe. Does anybody object to that being added as number 7 under B? Any objections? Now, keep in mind, these things aren't in concrete, so we can still make changes, but we would like to get something out after the meeting today for the public to look at before our meeting in Singapore. Okay, so we'll add a number 7 under B. Does anybody object to that same or modified, I don't know, principles being added as at the end of B2B, at the very end of the document. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, I think that would work.
Marika, please.
Yeah, it is, Marika. I don't know if you really want to duplicate it or possibly just refer back to principle, what is it, B7, or just say principle B7 also applies here. So I think if we just copy and paste it, people may think that we made a mistake or something like that.
I think that's a very good idea, very practical idea. Any objections to that? Okay. Our time is just about up. Let's go back up to 1B, the administrative updates. Now, we have at least 2 suggestions on the table. One of them is to put it in our notes. Some people would prefer to have it as a principle. If we can word it smoothly. Now some people have their hands up before when I cut you off. Sorry for that. So if you'd like to raise your hand to talk further about 2B, please do so. Marika, you're first.
This is Marika. I just want to know that also on the right-hand pod, I tried to capture the language that was suggested by Greg. I just want to point out that that is there so people can look at that and see if that addresses the concerns that were raised. And Greg can as well correct me if I took anything down that wasn't correct. It's mainly adding the first sentence and the mirror to the second sentence. I think the rest was all the same.
So that's So that's changes to GNSO policy recommendations need to be examined on where they fall in the spectrum of policy and implementation. Mere administrative updates, error corrections, and clarifications to approve GNSO policy should be treated in a transparent manner as implementation issues without any requirement for public consultation, except the right for the community to challenge whether such updates were indeed simply administrative updates, error corrections, or clarifications. Greg, you get to respond to that first. You proposed that. Is that correct?
I guess it came from my stream of consciousness.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, can I assume that you're okay with that as a principal?
As a principal, I think it needs some drafting help. I wish I was one of those people who could, perfectly drafted stuff.
But are you okay with it? Are you okay with it as a principal, assuming that we can fix the language later?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still the right of the community. That's kind of very nebulous, but maybe that's because it's a principle. We'll worry about how it possibly can occur later on. So I'm generally okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And sorry to put you on the spot, although you know I'll do that wherever I think it might help. Aubrey.
Yeah. This is Aubrey speaking. I don't know if it works, but I did paste into the chat a possible implementation of the idea here, insofar as I understood the idea, that makes it a principle.
Is that okay? Oh, here we go. That's the D18 or D. What was that?
Right. Yeah, I was referring to it in its original place and not the new place it got moved to.
D1.
I think that's the same language. It's the same thing. It's that principle.
So that's an implementation team should be able to make transparent changes to the implementation that do not affect any policy aspects of the implementation. Examples of such actions include admin updates, error correction. In any case, there should be a challenge. Is that correct? Did I get the right language there, Aubrey, in the chat?
Basically, examples include, and then I just didn't bother to copy down the sentence. In any case, the community maintains the ability to challenge any implementation change that may affect policy.
Okay. So we've got two, and that's an alternative to Greg's language, is that correct?
I guess so, yeah. We fill the same space,
okay,
wherever it was put.
Okay. And Marika's putting that on the right side of the screen there. If we can't quickly come to agreement here, one thing we could do is allow 24 hours for us to try to come to agreement on the list of the language. Another alternative would be to just put a footnote to this particular principle, whichever version we put there, and say that the language is still being tweaked on this, but we wanted to get it out for public comment. Greg, please.
As I said in the chat, I think we're the two comments or principles are really kind of apples and oranges. One is talking about changes to the recommendations, and the other one is talking about implementation of the recommendations. And so I guess, you know, part of the question here is what we are talking about making, you know, as somebody was saying, a clarification, a spelling change, or the like, or are we talking about the actual physical implementation act and whether that changes policy? I think these are, they're two separate concepts, so I don't think one replaces the other. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And Marika agrees with that. So we might have two principles. Rather than taking everyone's time, if nobody's opposed to this approach, could I impose on Greg and Aubrey, and if Marika, if you want to participate in that, that would be fine, to try and come up with either revising the one principle or making it two principals, and then we put that out to the list with a 24-hour response time. It's really late for Marika, very late. Is it the middle of the night for you, Marika? So it doesn't have to be done immediately, but if it could be done early enough tomorrow so that hopefully by the first of the date on Thursday, have I got the what date? I guess it would have to be Friday. We could get no later than first of the day on Friday, we could get the principles put out. If you can't come to agreement, Aubrey's in agreement, okay, if you can't, what we'll do is put each of your languages in there, noting that we will, and go ahead and post the comments. Thanks, Greg, for agreeing to that. And if the two of you can work on that, put something to the list, we'll comment. If there's good support for it, we'll go ahead and post with that. If not, we'll let people know that we will, thanks, is that a smile? we'll let people know that we're still working on the language here, but the gist, we at least wanted them to see the gist of what we're working on. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I had a comment to Avery's language, because I'm a little bit confused about the implementation team, if that means the implementation review team or if that means staff, because the way it's currently written is that the implementation team should make changes to the implementation. While I think the process as it currently works is that staff puts forward proposals, or if there should be changes, would make suggestions, and the implementation team can then, you know, confirm or agree or disagree. So that may need to be reworded, at least, you know, to reflect, I think, how it would currently work, because I guess how that worked out is part of as well what the working group will be doing as part of its deliberations on the recommendations.
Thank you. And
yeah,
would it be okay, Aubrey, to say implementers?
Well, we're going to work on the rewording. I see the point totally. I was misusing names. Yes, it was staff implementation team I was thinking of, not the working group implementation team. And so, yeah, need to be more specific.
So I think we have agreement. Thank you, Aubrey. Chuck again. I think we have agreement on the principles with the exception of this one. And I'd appreciate it if everybody would watch the list for the working group. And we'll get something from Aubrey and Greg, and then just let us know if you have a problem with it or if you're okay with it. And assuming we have no objections, we'll probably go with what they suggest. So please watch the list in the next 24 hours. The last things on the agenda, which will be very quick, planning for Singapore. I don't think there's any need for the policy or the principals working group to meet at this any further. There is a working group meeting in Singapore where we expect to talk about the definitions briefly, hopefully more talk on the principles, because we talked in the last meeting in Buenos Aires about the definitions, and so most of it will be on the principles, and then we'll let them know where we're at on the three sub-teams that are being formed. And with that comment, I want to add, I would really appreciate it if each of you would identify one of those teams to participate in, as well as encouraging others that are on the list to volunteer as well as that. Amr.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. I just wanted to add that in addition to the two principles that Avri and Greg are going to work on, I should have probably responded sooner on list, but I'll say now and then do on list later that I support the two principles that Marika sent following last week's call to add them as well. So we'll have four principles to discuss, I hope, not just two.
Amr, this is Chuck. What two principles? I'm blank.
One of them was for the overarching principles, which was the question was, should a principle be added specifying that GTLD policy development should not take place outside the GNSO? And I had suggested adding that to the overarching principles. And the second one was that if the board / staff accept a GNSO policy but elect an implementation that differs from what the GNSO intended, then the ICANN board or staff are obligated to provide a rationale for the GNSO before proceeding.
Now, you think those are overarching principles?
No, I think the first one is. I think the second one could probably go under policy, which is or implementation under. Let's see. Probably. No, I think it could go under policy and implementation. So it would be B7, or if there is a B7 that Stephanie has added, this would be B8.
Right. Marika, and you can do this tomorrow. You don't have to do it today because I know it's really late for you. Could you put those two principles in a red line in a revised document that would you're good about doing that anyway, so that we have everybody, the working group has the whole thing, so we'll include those, and we'll need people to chime in on that if for some reason we can't get enough responses to know that we've got support for adding those two. We'll flag those in what we post that they're still under discussion by the working group. Marika, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just posted on the right-hand side because the way it was framed in the email were actually more questions, because there were two, I think, that were raised during last week's call, but there wasn't actually any specific language. Now it's very general, so I can put that in, but I don't know if that exactly conveys, because I think it was still a discussion point whether those should be actually added or not. So I don't know if we can maybe still leave those as, you know, questions, and maybe as well to discuss whether and how these could be added, or whether you do want to add them in. But as I said, you know, I think they were put in the email and we didn't actually get any response on the list. You know, people expressing whether they should go in or shouldn't go in. And also, as I said, you know, the language is very general at this stage.
Marika, use your best judgment in how to portray those. I'm okay with a question. That were, you know, this was raised, we haven't resolved. However you think best, for time's sake, so that we don't delay more than Friday morning to get the principles out, let's do it that way. And again, people, if you can respond, that'd be great to those as well as to the language we get from Aubrey and Greg. I'm really impressed. We only lost two people, it looks like, at least in Adobe Connect, and we went overtime. So thanks, everybody, for the great work, and look forward to some responses in the next couple of days. I hope I get to see a lot of you in Singapore, but there will be remote participation if you can't make it to Singapore. So please, if you can deal with the time zone difference, which is 12 hours for the East Coast of the U.S., and it varies more for others. So thank you very much.
Chuck, you know I'm not going to let you get away with that. You U.S.-centric individual, you stop it.
I got to give you something to do, Cheryl.
And I will be following you in Singapore, so just be careful, Chuck.
Thanks, everybody. This has been a great sub-team to work with. The sub-team was great to work with. The working group has been great to work with. And we're moving forward. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of the day if there's any left for some of you. So thanks a lot.
He's still at it. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Night, Marika.
Thank you. Have a good day.